Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker is Dr. Joel Hufstutler, a member of the Bob Jones Academy Bible faculty. The title of his message is Keep Thy Heart. The text is from Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 27.
I want to ask you to turn this morning, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 4. Begin reading this morning in verse 20 down through the end of the chapter. The scripture says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Let's look to the Lord in prayer as we look into his word this morning. Father in heaven, we thank you for the power of your word. We thank you that it has the power to give life and sustain life. We thank you, Lord, that even today you're concerned about us and about our lives. And we pray that as we draw near to you today through your word, that we truly would draw near to you in heart and seek your will in our lives for this day. We pray that you would accomplish your purpose through this chapel time. And as your word speaks to us, Lord, help us to respond to it. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to draw our attention in particular to verse 23 this morning. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Growing up in a Christian home and going to a Christian school, from time to time, I would observe someone, some Christian man or Christian woman, Christian young person, make a disastrous choice that brought shame upon Christ and upon the church, upon themselves. And I'll never forget one time when I heard about a man who had preached in a summer camp that I went to. When I was 17, the man preached throughout the week, and the Lord really used his messages in my heart. But I heard several years after that same man had run off with, away from his wife, with a girl in the youth group in his church. And this is an older man. He had been in the ministry for a number of years. He was serving God faithfully. But at some point, he failed to do what this verse teaches us we must do. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, "Behind every tragedy in human character, there is a process of wicked thinking." And of course, thinking takes place in our heart. And I want to just challenge you today to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, from the Word of God. As you look at the scripture and you look at the teaching about our heart, you know the components of the heart. The heart is our inner person. Peter calls it the hidden person of the heart. It's our inner man. The heart includes our intellect, our mind, our thoughts, the thinking process. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, it says, "And God saw the wickedness on the earth. He saw the heart of man. He saw that during that time, during the period right before the flood, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." That's the first mention of the heart in the Bible. We think, and sometimes we distinguish between heart knowledge and head knowledge, and really those two are one and the same. They're all a part of our heart. Psalm 19 and verse 14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight." So the meditation, the thinking that we do. And what are you thinking about today? What are your thought patterns? You might be thinking about your test next hour. I don't know if you have one. might be thinking about something you're doing later today, but I'm really talking about those issues that deal with sin and your life before God. What are you thinking about? What do you occupy your mind with? The heart also includes our volition, our will, the decisions that we make, the intentions that we have. Genesis in chapter 8 and verse 21, after the flood, it says, "The Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, 'I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done.'" The imagination of man's heart, the intention, the intent or inclination, as it's been translated, those decisions that we make, our will, that's a part of our heart. That word that's used in that passage, translated imagination, is the same word that describes what God does as he formed man from the dust of the ground. The idea of framing or purposing, we do that in our heart. And yes, it's based on the thoughts that we have, the knowledge that we have, but it's something different. It's the volition, the will. Daniel, in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, says Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. And that's the heart at work. There's a purposing. There's an intention. And what kind of intentions do you have? What intents do you have today? What are you willing to do? What are you desiring to do? And the heart, of course, includes emotions as well. Our happiness, our sadness, the trouble at times in our heart. The Bible speaks of all those sorts of things. But that is our heart, just a brief description of our heart. And you, each one of you today, have a heart life known only to you and to God. And where is it at? Where is your heart today? And you know what the Bible teaches as well about the character of our heart. That really was the composition or the capabilities of our heart, what our heart does. But the character of our heart, I'd ask you to turn over to Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10. And these are familiar passages. But it is good to remind ourselves from time to time of these familiar passages and think through them, think about them. Look at Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" That's the character of our heart. There are more biblical statements about the heart, the one already alluded to in Genesis. Spurgeon said, "There's nothing one half so worthy of abhorrence as the human heart. God spares from all eyes but his own that awful sight, a human heart. And could you and I but see our heart, we should be driven mad, so horrible would be the sight." Is he exaggerating? Is J.C. Ryle exaggerating when he says the seeds of every wickedness lie hidden in our hearts? They only need the convenient season to spring forth into mischievous vitality. The seeds of every wickedness? Every wickedness. Well, what kind of seeds are there in our heart? I'd ask you to turn, if you would, to Mark chapter 7, where Jesus spoke about our heart. Mark chapter 7. In verse 21, Jesus says, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." And we have a list like this. So I want to just take a little bit of time with the list. Those evil thoughts, bad thoughts, wicked thoughts, wrong thoughts, thoughts that do not conform to God or to his word, twisted, perverse thinking. He mentions here adulteries, acts of unfaithfulness to the marriage covenant, fornications, that is indulging in unlawful sexual intercourse, that's within the heart of man, comes out from time to time, murders, the unlawful taking of human life, that's within the heart of man. You might look at this list, the beginning of this list, and say, well, I've never done that. But the capability of that is in your heart. You have the capability to do that. Thefts, the taking of property, unlawful taking of property that belongs to another. Covetousness, the craving for more things, the inappropriate craving for things. Get more stuff. And in our generation, there is much covetousness. And do you find that in your heart, a desire for more and more and more? Wickedness, that which is worthless. The word that's translated wickedness here is the word that describes as a noun the devil himself, the evil one, the wicked one. Deceit, that is in our heart. Taking advantage of another through craft or underhanded methods. Had a notable illustration of this in the news yesterday. A man, I don't know if he's lives in New York, but he's a hedge fund manager who was convicted of defrauding investors of some $450 million. And the reason he made the news is his SUV was found on a bridge in New York. And on the dust on the hood of the vehicle was written the words, "Suicide is painless." Now, that just happened to be on the same day. They found the vehicle on the very same day that he was to report to federal prison for his crimes. And here's a man who'd been defrauding and deceiving people, even sending documents to them saying that they were making a profit. That's what he's been doing for years. And they finally caught him and convicted, told him to report to federal prison, and then they find his SUV with those words. There's no body. There's no evidence of him except that's his vehicle. And I would think if he's been deceiving people all his life, you think maybe that suicide is painless is just a note to deceive even more, and maybe he's somewhere else in the world. He may be unusual to the extent that he has gone in deceiving people, but we are all deceivers. Deceit. Lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is the lack of self-constraint, which involves one in conduct that violates all bounds of what is socially acceptable. A lack of self-constraint, a licentiousness, that is in our heart. An evil eye, Jesus uses this word, an evil, or this phrase, an evil eye. Someone's said that's the eye that works evil and haunts one with its gloating stare. And have you ever given someone an evil eye? You might think of this as envy, but you know, there is that phrase, if looks could kill, or that person was staring daggers at me. And although we might not take the knife itself, when we're angry enough, we can give a look that would kill. An evil eye. And then this word blasphemy, which we tend to think of God, but you can blaspheme another person in the New Testament. You can slander another person. Of course, you can slander God as well. That is in our heart. And then pride, this high-mindedness, this sin that God hates. He hates a proud look. It's an abomination to him. And yet that is worship. That is in our heart. Someone has called it the idolatrous worship of ourselves and the national religion of hell. And C.S. Lewis spoke of the proud person as always looking down on other people so that he doesn't have any time to look up to God. Pride. Foolishness. the lack of prudence or good judgment, the lack of moral or intellectual sense. And Jesus says all these evil things come from within and defile the man. Is Jesus exaggerating? And of course, he is the truth himself. He always spoke the truth. And he speaks the truth, and this is the living word of God, and that is within our heart. You may not have seen it yet. You may have seen some of those things just described in that list in your heart, at least in thought form. Maybe you found yourself actually doing some of those things. That is our heart. The verse in Proverbs says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The heart must be kept in. It must be maintained. It must be guarded. It must be watched over. And of course, the first thing you need to do, if that is your heart, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior and given him your heart so that he could make it clean and pure, guiltless, you need to do that. And I wonder if under the sound of this word today, there's a person, or maybe more than one, that does not have a clean heart, does not have a new heart, as the Bible speaks about. God will give you a new heart, and he will cleanse you from your sin. But even after we come to faith in Christ, we find that our heart manifests that corruption. And we one day, praise the Lord, will be saved to sin no more. But we still struggle, and we must still keep our heart with all diligence. That word keep in Proverbs chapter 4, and if you turn back there, Proverbs chapter 4. That word keep is a broad word. It's an important word. I want to think about keeping. As you look at the scripture, people kept different things. Adam kept the Garden of Eden. And in scripture, you can see keepers of certain animals. And today, as you think about the world, there are beekeepers and zookeepers and jail keepers and horse keepers and trapper keepers. Are you a heart keeper? Are you keeping your heart? Are you guarding it with utmost diligence? My grandfather, when I was about 12 years old, bought a pony and sent it to our home without telling us ahead of time. We had 3 acres, so we had the ability to take care of it. But we didn't know it was coming. And on a Saturday night, we see this horse trailer pull up in our driveway. And we walked out and we said, can we help you find something? And he said, well, is this 15201 Highway 76? And that was our address. And we said, yes. And he said, well, here's your pony. And my mom went over to look at the bill of sale, and of course it had her dad's name on it, and she said, Dad, you know, what are we going to do? And again, we did have the capability to take care of it, and I just happened to be at the perfect age to be the one to take care, or to try to take care of that pony. And if you've ever taken care of a horse, you know that they require care, food, water, combing their mane from time to time, their coat. There is care that needs to be taken for the health of that animal. In our case, we didn't have a place to keep the horse other than tying her up. And so there was concern at times for her safety when she got loose. But it took a lot of attention to keep that horse. And of course, it's the daily water, it's the daily food, and the way that we handled it was we had a long rope and we would tie her to a tree in a place where she could eat some grass, and she would eat that up, and the next day or a little while after, we'd take her somewhere else. But it took effort, it took time to take care of that horse. There were occasions when she would pull somehow away from her tree. And I still don't know how every time she got loose, she got loose. But she would get loose and she'd go running. And there were times when we found her over in the cornfield near us. We found her in the neighbor's property nearby. There were times when we had someone tell us there's a horse in the road up the ways from our house and we had to go get her. And it took time. It took energy. And this horse was really not willing to be controlled. I didn't tell you her name. Nightmare. And we named her when we got her, and we realized that it really, kind of like the Bible, the name fit her character. But, you know, just like you'd have to take the time and the energy and even daily effort to care for that horse, there is daily care that your heart needs. Daily care. This, in fact, is a part of the daily care. The Word of God. And of course, you can do that as you come to chapel, but also there's that personal care that you ought to take as you read the Word of God and let the one who knows your heart better than anyone else take care of your heart. I, the Lord, he says in Jeremiah, search the heart. I try the reins to give to every man according to the fruit of his doings. In Acts chapter 1, as the disciples are selecting these two men for the Lord's choice of who would be the apostle to replace Judas, they pray and they say, O Lord, thou knowest the hearts of all men. That's the way it's translated. There's one word there. And it's really, it could be translated the heart knower. Thou, Lord, the heart knower, show which of these two thou hast chosen. There is one who knows your heart. And of course, he looks upon the heart. And he's different from us in that respect. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Robert Murray McShane, speaking about that passage in Jeremiah, said he is the constant witness of our heart. He does not say, McShane says, I have searched or will do it, but I search. I do it now and always. Not a moment of our life, but his pure, calm, searching eye has been gazing on the inmost recesses of our hearts. From childhood to old age, his eye rests on us. The darkness hideth not from him. The darkness and the light are both alike to him. So there is a critic, and not in the negative sense, but there is a critic to our heart. There's someone watching our heart. In addition to ourselves, we know our heart to a certain extent, but the scripture says, who can know it? And then the answer is, God ultimately knows your heart better than you do. And you need him. And you need his word. And you really need prayer. Prayers like the one in Psalm 19. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Prayers like, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And as you seek the Lord and as you seek to purify your heart by his word and by his grace, he will help you and he will bless you. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, it says, for the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. Where is your heart today? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Shall we pray? Heart knower and God of heaven, we thank you that you know our hearts this day. And we pray that we would indeed keep it with all diligence, because our very life depends upon it. And you know our heart, Lord. We pray that if there's one here today that has never had a new heart, they would come to you even today. And for those of us who know you, Lord, we pray that we would remember that we need to keep our heart with all diligence. And help us to keep it with all diligence this very day. And if we have not been yet, Lord, build a pattern of heart keeping in our life.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Joel Hufstutler, a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones Academy. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.